Okay, I believe we're about ready to go.
Ready.
Yeah. I will call to order the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on this Tuesday, March 20th, 2012. Please join the board with Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good. Greetings to everyone. We're glad to have you all. Next item is a consideration of the minutes of 3/12/12 and the budget hearing of 3/13/12.
Move approval of both.
Yeah, vice versa, and I second it.
It's been moved and seconded, the approval of the board minutes of 3/12 as well as the public hearing minutes of 3/13/12. Were there any corrections or addition to those minutes? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Minutes are approved. The next item is public comment number one. This is an opportunity where members of the audience may address the board regarding a topic on today's agenda. Is there anyone that wanted to address the board regarding a topic on today's agenda?
Or to give me a few seconds in between. Okay, guys.
Seeing no one, okay, then we are ready to move down the agenda. There are no public hearing items, and the first item for consideration is under additional items. It's consideration of amending the subcontracting with Mary Greedy Medical Center in reference to Eiley Ball Mental Health Center, RFP, which was approved at the 3/13/12 board meeting. Just for a little background clarification, I'll ask Deb if she would perhaps come on up as well. After the board meeting in communication with Loris, I did some checking with representatives from Mary Greeley and so forth just to make sure that the reference to the subcontracting agreement was not misinterpreted or misunderstood. And it was my understanding at that time that no actual subcontracting agreement had been put formally in place. However, the intent for that was clear, but as part of the ongoing negotiation and discussion that's going to take place over time, it is very likely that both ISS and Mary Greeley could perhaps be entering into a subcontractual agreement. But the actual structure of how that is to be was not formulated at that time. So I then followed up with communication with Deb, and then Deb did some follow-up as well. And so you might just want to mention the communication you shared with me regarding the concept of the where we are with subcontracting agreement and so forth. And the basic for this is we didn't want to imply that there was a subcontracting agreement currently in place when in actuality it hasn't been finalized at this point. Okay.
That's correct. There have been no contracts or subcontracts signed at this point in time, and it was the understanding of the review committee when they read the proposal submitted by Eiley Ball Community Mental Health Center that that would be the intent, is for Eiley Ball to work with YSS and Mary Greeley Medical Center on developing and incorporating services so that we have a full continuum of services here in Story County. I talked with Chris Sorensen from Eiley Ball yesterday. He's the CFO, and he wanted to make sure that there was no misrepresentation as well, and that they are just in discussion phases about developing particularly crisis services and looking at working with Mary Greeley on that. And then I also had shared that information with Neil Less at Mary Greeley Medical Center, and he's on board with that as well and appreciated the communication that he's received through the county and understands that it's intent language and action.
Right. And so the where we are at this point is based on the motion that was mentioned, that was listed in the minutes and so forth, is was it necessary for us to amend in any way the language, which because it implied basically that a subcontractor agreement appeared to be in place, and I don't think that is the case at this point. So I guess that's where I'm at. I'm just trying to develop a comfort level in terms of the Mary Greeley's portion is more or less they have a cooperative agreement to continue to work together towards the implementation of the crisis center at this point. So I'm just curious as to if all parties are supportive of the concept, and then we don't have to amend that motion. You know, I'm comfortable with this, but I want the record to clearly understand that we don't have a formal subcontracting agreement in place right now. So do you see that we may need to just amend that in any way? And you were the maker of the motion, Mr. Sanders, I
believe. Well, I would think that we could just clarify here today that who we're talking about contracting with is Ierley Ball. And it's our understanding that they have the support of Mary Greeley Medical Center and YSS and may or may not work with them down the road. But I don't view that we were ever expecting to enter a contract with Mary Greeley or YSS. Our expectation was we're going to try to enter a contract with Ierley Ball, and we recognize that they have partners in the community that support them and they may work with them. So I would hope we could just clear it up today rather than going back and amending motions, but whatever we need to do, we can do.
Yeah, I mean, if it's easier, we can simply amend the motion to approve the RFP with Ierley Ball and leave it up to them to name their subcontractors. That'll be between Ierley Ball and whoever they want to subcontract with.
And I guess the reference basically would be that there will be ongoing negotiations with YSS and Mary Greeley regarding the services that will be delivered. I think it's just it's a way of just probably whether you change the actual wording of the subcontractor to the ongoing collaboration, because right now that is really what has taken place, you know.
And those discussions would be between Ierley Ball and YSS,
right.
Ierley Ball and Mary Greeley.
Mary Greeley.
I mean, our contract will be with
Ierley Ball. Right.
And they may expand and decide to subcontract with a variety of entities, but as the way it was presented in the RFP, their intent is to work with those two
right.
entities on specific kinds of services, children's and youth services, and then crisis services.
Right. Good.
Yeah.
So I'll make a motion to amend the minutes or amend the motion from last week, if that's acceptable, to simply approve the RFP with Ierley Ball.
Yeah, I'll second
yeah.
that.
Leave it to them
right.
to
right. Okay. Great. That's been moved and second to amend the motion from last week to approve the RFP with Ierley Ball. Any further discussion?
I think that was our intent.
Right.
I mean, but it makes
right.
a lot of sense to me just to clarify it.
Right. Okay. With that, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Do you have that, Michelle? Okay. All right. Thank you. And again, I think it's, again, important that we have interested folks in eyes and ears and so forth looking at that and trying to make sure that we are conveying the kind of information as accurately as possibly can. So thank you, Loris, again, for calling that to our attention. I appreciate that. It was in no way intended to diminish what we were trying to do, but simply to make sure that everybody was on the right page in terms of what we were about to move forward with. So thank you for that. Okay, then moving on to item 3, continued discussion and consideration of purchasing office furnishing for community service. Al Hahn and Deb, thank you for again coming back. I know this has taken several weeks and probably months in exploring the wherewithal of where we are. So if you could just kind of update us on where you are today.
Close.
Just pull it closer to you.
Light's not on.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Turn it off. Push the button again. Okay. Good.
Okay. Deb and I have, since last week, we went to down to Des Moines. We went to Business Furniture. Kind of a liquidator place that has a lot of used furniture in place. And we went down there yesterday, and then we also met with Story Kenworthy yesterday afternoon on the used furniture. A couple of things, and Deb, she can jump in any time that I forget something. But the used furniture we looked at, we only saw samples of what they have available. Most of the furniture was wrapped, shrink-wrapped, up in rafters. You do not know what you're buying until you get it installed. There's absolutely no warranty. There's no guarantee of repair parts, and the installation charges is a lot more than probably half again as much on used furniture plus to put it all together. They didn't really have a good number of working lateral files. A lot of them were scratched. A lot of them were dented. Cost-wise, we're going to be... We didn't ask for a formal request from that, but I think you could easily look at close to $45,000 to $50,000 for used furniture by the time it's all installed. And that really didn't include any office, the large furniture in the boardroom or the conference room. We also went back and we talked with Cindy at Story Kenworthy. She has revised her plan for all new furniture for the office, and it is down to $76,274. Now, there's an interesting thing Deb sent to me here a little bit ago, just a few hours ago, back in 1999, when we bought all that furniture for her department, which would be, you know, what, 12 years ago? We spent roughly $78,000. We're looking at more furniture this time around. We're looking at she didn't have this many employees. We're also looking for more conference room furniture for a total of 76. When I look at it, like if I'm going to spend $45,000 on used furniture, and I got to take care of this furniture, I think we owe it to purchase the new furniture so it continues to go down the road 10, 15 years from now. Deb?
Yeah, one of the other things I wanted to add is, as Linda Stemmler in my office and I looked at what we did when we purchased the furniture back in 1999, one of the things that we were able to do is include a portion of the expense to our cost report. We allocated approximately 70% to our cost report and then depreciated that out over a 10-year period of time. And so we looked at that information to make sure it was still an allowable expense. It's an indirect kind of expense that we certainly would be able to consider. And at that point in time, what Linda did is she looked at the furniture in each person's office and then determined how much of that person's time went towards our cost report. And that's what we do yet to this day when we file that cost report. And so that's how she came up with that 70%. And we certainly have more case managers now than we did back in 1999. So the percentage could be even a little bit higher than 70%, but that would be the at least 70% would be what we could depreciate out through our cost report. Since we're required to have an office and provide that type of environment for the staff to work in.
Al, remind me what we've got in contingency for this project and where we think we're going to end up on that.
Contingency, roughly $120,000. And right now we've probably spent 10% of that, and the project is pretty close to finishing up. So we're doing really well as far as spending. There wasn't a lot left out of the construction documents. So
I mean, you think clearly we're going to have $76,000 remaining in the contingency to be able to cover the furniture and still come under what this total project was put out at.
Our first estimates on the whole project was $650,000. That's what we did last fall. And, of course, the contract came in. The contractors were hungry. They came in at $378,000, and $120,000 of that is contingency.
Well, Al, not to give you any kudos beyond what we need to, but historically over the years, your guidance through this whole process of building and maintenance and equipping things has proven to be very cost-effective for Story County. And with your absence earlier when we were going through this process, I was just not really comfortable with us making a decision without the careful analysis that you have been given to the board for many, many years. And so while we have delayed it, at this point, I think it's very valuable information. Plus, we've taken a look at the possibility of whether used furniture would be able to meet our needs and what the life cycle cost would probably be over the long run. And then I think with the addition of the cost reporting factor there that we have been able to use in the past, again, this would be another cost savings to us in the long run. So I think it's to me that comfort level is something that I always like to turn to people who have expertise in particular areas to do the research and then give us the best case scenario so that the decisions that we ultimately make, we can feel comfortable that we've exhausted all the parameters there. So I want to thank you again and also Deb for your patience with the board as we've kind of gone through this process. We just didn't really want to quickly approve something with a lot of unanswered questions out there. And so I do appreciate
I would add too, as we were looking at furniture yesterday and you know, trying to find something comparable to what we have right now, in terms of storage and functionality, there were cubicle areas where some may have had the overhead storage that we're used to and use quite often, and others that did not come with that, which would then add to the expense. The other thing, as Al mentioned, was the file storage. Some of them had keys, others didn't, and so we would be in a position where we'd have to rekey some of those storage or filing cabinets because everything we have is confidential and needs to be in a locked unit. So those are things that we were just noting as we were going through to determine what the best case scenario would be.
So if we go this route, this would all the furniture that exists in your current area, Deb, would stay there except for the rolling file cabinets. Everything else would stay, or is there some other things that would go down?
There, the mobile filing cabinets would need to be moved. We have upright cabinets for our general assistance files that would need to be moved, and there are a few other filing cabinets that we would be taking with this as well to put into our file storage area downstairs. But, you know, workstations, you know, the extra chairs, the conference room table, all of that, the furniture in the reception area and in the waiting area, that would all stay.
Al, do we have to contract out for those rolling files to be moved? You know,
yeah, we do. In fact, Brad Sandstone from OSDI is the one that put them in. He does the maintenance on them, so they are really the only people that we'll hire to bring in. They'll bring in millwrights that will set the rails and stuff, so they will take care of that. I'm not sure until I really hear from him who's going to remove all the files out of there. Possibly we will down into Deb's area when she moves, but the structure itself will be moved by them. I don't look at that costing us a lot of money. It's a fairly simple thing.
I just want to thank everybody for the patience. I mean, we're basically back where we were 3 weeks ago, but we've realized some savings from what the original estimate was, and we've got our questions answered. about whether or not we would be satisfied if we did purchase the used furniture. And so, I mean, it seems like a lot of money, but it's a lot of furniture, and I guess with the new furniture, then you don't have to worry about the maintenance, and if you could find parts for it. And obviously, we spent the money 12 years ago, and we're still going to continue to use that furniture.
Right, right.
It's just going to be left in the upper level of that building. So
yeah, and that's worth a lot to us, because right now I have zero furniture at all. You know, and people are always asking me for furniture, and we had a lot of it when we refurnished this building when we did the remodel. But we had other departments that, like animal control, that needed furniture, and it was really a cost saving to us because it was still in good condition and we could, you know, furnish their areas. So, but right now we're at zero, so that'll build up our storage a little bit.
Well, I think it's important that we recognize whoever ends up in that unallocated space in Deb's, we're going to be the ones responsible for providing furniture for them. So if we've got furniture that already fits in the area that we don't have to move around, that makes a lot of sense to me. I appreciate you guys looking at the option of used furniture. It makes sense to me if there's minimal savings with going with the used option, and you don't know exactly what you're getting, and you don't get any warranty or any guarantee that there's replacement parts as you need them. It makes a lot of sense to go this way, and I echo Paul. I appreciate the patience. We're just doing what we're supposed to do up here, trying to analyze everything and make sure that we're doing this in the most efficient and effective way possible. So thank you.
Okay.
And with that, I would I'd make a motion that we go ahead and contract with Story Kenworthy with the proposal that's at $76,000.
Yeah, actually it's
74. Okay.
Second that.
Okay, it's been moved and second to move forward with the contract agreement with Story Kenworthy for the purchase of the furniture at $76,274.74. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good.
Okay, item number four, consideration of request to amend the Ames Urban Friends Plan. Planning and Development Director, Leanne Harder, and she's moving better. Okay.
The board will recall last Tuesday you did receive a request or hear about a request to consider amending the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. I have essentially the same presentation as last week. I do just want to add a couple of notes for clarification following last Tuesday's discussion. On the left-hand side is the potential layout of this property. Again, this is where the current Oaks Golf Course is, northeast of Ames, just north of Ada Hayden Park. On the right is a map that was provided in the City of Ames staff report for their March 6th consideration. This does show the current designations on the Ames River Fringe Plan. I don't want to delve into that too great of detail because, quite honestly, today your request is just whether or not you want to consider even amending the Ames River Fringe Plan. But currently it is in a parks and recreation area and natural area on that southern portion, right in this location. Procedures to amend the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. I did go over this in detail last week. I do need to point out, though, that this is within 2 miles of City Gilbert, this property. So Gilbert, in accordance with the agreement, will have to take action. They don't necessarily have to agree to consider the request, but ultimately when it comes to the consideration of the request, which seems redundant statement, they will have to take action as well. The amendment procedures, I went through this in detail last week again. We've skipped the first two ones, just again, first time going through this process. We're essentially at that third step where each entity is considering whether to amend the plan. I do want to step back, though. That first step last week, I indicated, in my viewpoint, was always a joint conceptual or sketch plan review. I did have the opportunity to talk to Ames staff yesterday They have a little different opinion. They just see it as a simple meeting with the developer, not the formal sketch plan review. I'm okay with that. I think that's probably a better way to go forward, and then on each end we'll do the diligence of talking to the other departments as needed.
And, Leanne, I had a meeting yesterday with Steve Shanker and had the same conversation, and in their view, I'll just point out, that they believe we're still on step one. We're still entering step one, that this was just an extra step that Chuck is going through as the Ames City Council tries to consider all these things. So
yeah. I think there's still some wrinkles that need to be ironed out in the whole process. I did talk to them at length yesterday about notifying Gilbert, and they were going to take Ames were going to take the lead in notifying Gilbert, the mayor specifically, and then also about reaching out to the development community and simplifying this. Sometimes animation is not the most helpful. This attachment C, I get caught up in all the squares and everything, and making it a little bit more simple and then sending that out through some sort of a PR program to the development community. So we could hopefully just start everything on that step one. Today you're being asked to consider amending the aims of the request to amend. The next step will be then to have a formal application by the developer. The City of Ames staff has asked that we maybe consider going back to that first meeting even before an application is submitted. I think, I won't speak for Chuck, but I think in the spirit of going forward with this, that would be helpful to make sure all the parties are on the same approaching it from the same directions, especially as we are looking at developing joint staff reports from this point forward and so on. City of Ames action on March 6th, they did agree to the request, and so they're a little bit ahead of you on this. But I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Well, I appreciate the staff report. Share it with us from Ames. And as I was going through that, I think it clearly pointed out the areas that we really talked about as far as the Ada Hayden area and how this whole process would take place in which you have to change your land designations and so forth. And I really didn't see anything that really stood out as really troubling from the language that was basically put forth. But I think a lot of the details really takes place if we move forward with the project during the actual work with the developer and making sure that the various mitigating factors are taken in consideration between the watershed protection of Ada Hayden, the satisfaction to not only the City of Ames but also to the county in terms of what our development standards are. So I see that as a positive, and I think this was a very helpful additional information for us to have. So that I don't have any questions at this time. I think this clearly answered some of the concerns that I may have had earlier. I don't know. Rick, yeah.
I would suggest that we've got two separate issues here that we're going to need to work on. The first one is Chuck is clearly in the process. At whatever level, whether it's step one or step three that we're on, Chuck has clearly put this thing in the process, and we need to fulfill our role of helping him get to the end of that process, whatever it is, based on what we currently have in front of us. The second, probably parallel but definitely separate from Chuck, part to this is we need to be utilizing this opportunity in working with Chuck to review everything we've got and make sure that we handle it at a higher level with the second group or person that comes through than we are with this one. But I would hope that we're not going to ask Chuck to jump through a lot of hoops because we're trying to refine this thing while he's in the process. He's in the process. Let's deal with it based on how we've got it laid out. Let's move forward, you know, in as reasonable a time as we can with Chuck. But then let's also look at what we're doing and see how we can refine that for future times. So that, I mean, that's kind of my view on this. I don't want to start changing the process as he's in the middle of it. He's in where he's in right now.
We just need to make sure. I think the whole intent of approving this urban fringe plan was to lessen the number of hoops that a developer had to jump through, and I don't think Chuck thinks that we're quite there yet. So, and it is a work in progress. So I would just echo what Rick said. If we could just kind of make sure that we're on the right track and and get this so when the next developer or the developer after that comes along, it is an easier process. And, it was worth this plan laying on the shelf for 6 years before it was finally approved. I think at that point it'll be well worth our effort. So.
Okay.
With that, I would suggest that we absolutely want to consider this request to amend the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, and so I will make a motion to that effect.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to request that the county support the amendment to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan.
Explain that we support considering amending.
Considering.
Yep.
Considering, yeah. Good word.
Absolutely.
Good. With that, any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Leanne, I really appreciate that Ames is going to take the lead in contacting Gilbert and helping us through this process. I just ask that you stay on top of it, and because clearly we see things a little differently right now. Let's just try to get it merged as much as we can.
You have my guarantee we will stay involved. One other thing for the board to take note of, I'll be working with Chuck. You'll have to take similar action on the, what's the name of the property, the nursing homes potentially? The Athan Farm.
It's a similar process we're going to have to go through if they
process.
Move down the road.
And
yeah.
Well, and Ames has already, Ames on March 6th took the same actions they did on the Oaks Golf Course to consider amending the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. The property cannot be annexed until the Ames Urban Fringe Plan is amended. So,
well, I imagine you'll bring all that to us in a proper
actually,
time.
If he asks you to, it's not on your agenda, but if he would ask you in a public format, I think that would suffice too, and we can, as staff, get on your agenda then for consideration, just like you did today.
Yeah. We can't take any official action today, but we could move to put it on the agenda. That is correct.
The light doesn't work.
It should be
it
a way
works,
to work.
Unless you just turned it off.
Chuck?
I guess my only, I agree that if we can get the staffs together as they work through this, I would just, sometimes in the past we've had issues collectively finding a time frame when all of the staffs can get together, and it says, well, our first available is July when we can get, we need to want to keep this process moving, because even when Leanne and I, with all the steps that, you know, we're talking about to get to the land use, and then we have to deal with the zoning and stuff. In our best case scenario, it was like 7 or 8 months, 6 to 7 months from now. And so we're hoping to, try to tidy that up a little bit, and maybe having the joint staff reports will help with some of that. And I don't know if you need to officially or who makes the determination, but one thing that was talked about at Ames that you haven't talked about is Ames. And the two requests are different, that they Ames viewed the golf course, the Oaks request, as a minor amendment, and the Athan Farm as a major amendment to the process. And so I don't know if you need to acquiesce to that, or if it just, and again, I had planned on going to Gilbert, but after, you know, because I went to the city manager, met with him individually, met with the council people, and everybody said, yep, here's how, and the city staff, and said, here's how we view the process. Here's your first step is writing a letter. And then when I talked to Leanne, she's like, well, this isn't how this is supposed to go. And I'm like, okay, well. And so I've had some people contact me and say, well, here you are trying to skirt the process and stuff again. And I'm like, I started kind of with everybody asking how to start the process. And I said, I think it's more a matter of, even though you've passed it, all three entities passed it, it really hadn't been gone through the process once. But if you guys need to distinguish today whether you feel it's a major or a minor, I'm just letting you know that what Ames did, and they've asked me to fill out that application, and I'm in that process, and I kind of begged off of Gilbert because everybody said, okay, let's take a breath and figure out where we are, and really, you're not the one to be doing that to Gilbert. We're supposed to do that, and so I'm kind of in a little bit of a holding pattern because it does take two requests, and if you, as you voted today to go forward, now we go on to one of those lines. But
right.
I would agree with Paul that if you look at that process from where, you know, when we did like our Cameron Pines subdivision and stuff, and we kind of had to bounce back, and I'm not sure we've simplified things at this point. When I look at, I have to go to your Planning and Zoning Commission and be in front of you, the City of Ames Planning and Zoning, City Council, Gilbert's Planning and Zoning, and Gilbert City Council, and then meet with the staffs in between all of that. I'm not sure that we're...
That doesn't sound simple to you?
Well, that's... But unfortunately, there are three different governing entities, and that is the process. So unless we can work on similarity in language, I think the goal basically is where we've had differences in the past that have caused you to not know which plan you were going to be able to follow. And we're trying to get to a point now where there's some consistency within the plan so that developers know that if this is how it's going to be done in Story County,
sure,
among all of the entities. And therefore, the formal approval process, because I think there are public residents and individuals interested through this land development changes, I think it's important that those processes still remain within the various jurisdictions.
I agree. I hope that when we get through this, what my goal is that once we get through the land use issues,
right,
then everybody else kind of goes away and we deal with this at the county level because it's a county project,
right,
and the final plats and the
right,
developers
right,
agreements
right,
and all
right,
that stuff we're down to.
Agreed.
And I know the city has some concerns as how we get some of the, since we are adjacent to the city, but again, all of those things that we've talked to both in front of this body and the city, we have, as the property owner slash developer, we have agreed to that, or in concept anyway, so hopefully we get all the staffs together and we can get all those issues so that everybody's concerns are melded into one consistent report, is my hope.
Sounds like a hazard mitigation to me, so this ought to be right up Keith's alley.
And Wayne, I'd just jump in, and I would say I think you're 100% right. In terms of what it's supposed to do, I would just add that I think we're also trying to make sure that we ask developers to go through the process concurrently with all three of the governmental entities rather than what it felt like in the past is you'd be moving down the road with this one and then you'd just get started with this one and now we're trying to move the ball forward in a reasonable time. Leanne, I would just ask clearly, Ames staff is viewing the entrance to all of this a little differently than we're viewing the entrance to all this, and whether they're adding steps on to the beginning before they feel like it gets this. I think it's important that we as a county and Gilbert understand where the entrance is in Ames' mind, and what they're going to be asking of developers as they come into an urban fringe amendment kind of situation, just so we understand what we're looking at, again, with the goal being that we're all moving at, even if the pace is excruciatingly slow, we're moving at the same pace at the same time.
Well, I can tell you from my discussions with them yesterday, they do acknowledge that it wasn't done like attachment C envisioned, and then there's a need to educate development communities, planners, elected officials, that what attachment C, how it's intended to operate. And that's the idea of having a simple visual thing that can be sent out. And
yep,
hopefully from here on out, we can be on the same page, but also use this as a learning experience to see maybe it does need to be modified too. Maybe there's a better way to doing it, which would open up the agreement, but we'll get through a couple and see that.
Absolutely. And I'm with you 100% there. I would like to encourage us all to not let our developers feel the pain of us trying to refine the system.
That would be after this.
Absolutely.
On Chuck's question on a major and minor, concurrent to this, Ames will be going through a land use policy plan amendment as part of the Ames River Fringe plan. That's specific for the land use policy plan. The board of supervisors has not adopted the major and minor amendment. We simply have an amendment to the county development plan,
right,
which will be processed with the Ames. It'd be seamless. You wouldn't see it
right
on our end.
And procedurally, if we get to the end of this meeting and one of us directs you to get the retirement community on our agenda to move consideration, can we do that without Chuck having to stick around?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can bring up public input as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Give me about 30 seconds.
All right, will do, will do. Okay, so I think, Leanne, we have accomplished what we needed to at this point on the amendment process. And that's going to be consideration of a system agreement with Tyler Technology on expense to upgrade version X Encode application. I would assume this is something that will be brought forth by IT and Sandra Hunter. Sandra, just take your time just for a minute, so Supervisor Sanders should be back in just a second or two.
It's actually
version 10. Version 10? Okay. Oh, I did notice that. Yeah.
The X.
X. Right. Version 10. Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi.
Good.
I'm coming for you today to
that the light will be on if it's on.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Oh.
Oh.
Ah, that was better.
I thought the light was on. Okay. I've come before you today to ask your consideration of approving the systems agreement with Tyler Technologies on the expenses that we would need to upgrade to version 10 of the Encode tax application, which is currently in the budget for FY13. We're asking for the approval now because for us to get on the schedule for Tyler Technology, we need to have the agreement signed. That doesn't mean we're going to spend anything in FY12. It only means we're going to agree that in FY13, we will be implementing version 10 and spending the amounts that they have defined in their agreement. What the amounts would be were the subscription fees, which is the $33,474, and that's every year we'll be paying that amount for, it's like the annual maintenance fees for the next 5 years, and that provides maintenance and support of the application. And all of this is not coming, the whole $33,474 is not all IT funds. $27,325 are IT, and the rest, there's $6,149 that would come out of the county assessor's funds, and they have that in their budget also. So, and then professional services would be the other portion that we'd pay, and that comes to $50,625, and that includes implementation services, the $32,291, as well as some additional training that the different offices thought we might need to have, which would be an additional $8,334. And then we'll have to have the solutions interface rewritten by the Encode people, which would be an additional $10,000.
Okay, but now when you use the term additional, you're saying that those things are addition to the prices that are listed here?
No, that's
grand, all included.
That's all included. Okay. So grand total, it's implementation services of, you know, the $50,625 that it's going to cost all together to implement this includes implementation services of $32,291 as well as the $8,000.
And both assessors are kicking in on that $50,000
portion. The city assessor was charged outside of this agreement.
So what they have approved for the city assessor is in addition to this.
Right. That is correct.
Okay.
This is only the county assessor and just the county IT.
And IT's portion of this, we budgeted for FY13.
Yes, we did.
Right. And so if I understood you correctly, the process is the approval of moving forward, but the dollars probably will not be expended probably until more than likely in FY13.
That's correct. We got this agreement way back in January because we wanted to get on their schedule to get this, you know, because there's a lot of other counties that want to go to version 10 also, because it's a huge improvement over what we currently have. So we're really excited about going with version 10. But
we waited until after the budget, the final budget approval for FY13, because, you know, if there is something that would change up to that point, it wasn't a definite thing. But that's why all of the funds that are in the agreement will be out of fiscal FY13 funds.
We approve the agreement, that'll give us, is it December, January timeline?
Right. The go live is December, within December, January timeframe. Probably right
that
about
that. Gets us after the election. I know one of the concerns of the auditor was getting us after the election. Wayne, we've got one elected official here in Story County who I think has been intimately involved with this entire process, and she's sitting in the back of the room right now.
Beaming.
I don't know if it'd be a
beaming.
That's right, beaming. I don't know if it'd be appropriate to get her to weigh in at all. Renee has been in the process all the way through.
I will only allow her at least 1 minute. Does she think she could be that short? Just kidding. Renee, do you have anything that you'd like to add regarding the process and where we are? I know you have been working with this. We don't need to put you on the spot if it's not necessary, but do you? Okay.
A lot of pressure's
this has
on.
Been a long process that started, yeah. I think the first meeting I went to was a year ago, February. And there's been a lot of discussion, a lot of meetings, a lot of heartache on the treasurer's office part about the system that we're currently under and the bridge that was built and what works and what doesn't. And hopefully this will be a step in the right direction so we can...
Well, and as I understand this, ultimately, this addresses, of the major concerns we have, this addresses all but one of them in terms of getting both assessors on the same database, in terms of the sharing of information. The only piece of this that it doesn't address, I think, is the financial piece and how we continue to communicate. But if I'm not mistaken, this addresses every other issue.
It does. The current system was written in AccuCobalt. The new one uses the .NET framework. And so it will be hopefully much faster running reports and having the response time when pulling information up on the screen. So it should be a huge improvement. And it will interface better with the imaging system, which is another big plus. And that's another thing that we have in the budget for FY13. But for the Tyler Content Imaging System. But at this point, we don't have an agreement for that, and we don't need to get that on the schedule. So the main purpose of asking now for your signature on this agreement is just so we can get it on the schedule so that we can get it implemented in the time frame that we're looking at, December, January time frame.
Okay.
And I'd move approval of the agreement with Tyler Technology to upgrade to version 10.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and second the consideration of the agreement with Tyler Technology on the upgrade to version 10. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Sandra. Thank you very much. Okay, and moving on, agency report, Reno Berg, Mainstream Living. Welcome.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Reno, I know that spring is here when we see you, so it's always exciting.
Good. Spring has been here for a while, hasn't it? Well, thanks for the opportunity to present. Just as a thumbnail sketch here for those in the audience, Mainstream Living is a private not-for-profit corporation. We've been in business since 1975. We provide services to about 500 persons with disabilities every day. In a four-county area in central Iowa, that being Story, Polk, Dallas, and Boone counties. We employ about 475 individuals. 60% of those are full-time and 40% part-time, and we operate on a $16 million budget, which is primarily funded by Medicaid. Now, having said that, as you have reports from agencies who are funded through the asset process, we sit here with the lowest amount of money that is given to any agency through the asset process. We get we request and we received $5,000 from the asset process to take care of two Story County individuals who attend our Enclave program. I'll tell you what that is in a minute. And these individuals, that program is funded by Medicaid, but for whatever reason, these people are not eligible to receive Medicaid funding. And while they need that program, they can't receive Medicaid funding, so Story County steps up to the plate and pays the bill on that. And so we have those two individuals in a Sauer Danfoss enclave. Now, in terms of what they do there, we have actually four enclaves. An enclave, by the way, is a group of our clients with intellectual disabilities who go into a place of business and perform work for that particular place of business. They are our employees. They're not the employees of the organization, and they work under the supervision of our staff. They are paid minimum wage or better. We do no sub-minimum wage activities at Mainstream Living. The four enclaves that we have two at Sauer Danfoss, one at their main location on 13th Street, which we've had since 1979. We have another one out at the old Bourne's installation that Sauer Danfoss now occupies out there. We also have a enclave of individuals at Hawk Chemical, and we have an enclave of individuals down at Iowa Medicaid Enterprises in Des Moines. So all of those individuals earn minimum wage or better in that environment. Now, having said that we only get $5,000 funding through ASSET, understates Story County's participation with Mainstream Living and our partnership with Story County, in that for the people who are in our Medicaid waiver services program, Story County is responsible for the non-federal share of the cost of that. That does not go through the ASSET process, and I don't have the numbers in front of me this morning to indicate what that is, but that's a mandated service, and Story County has to pay the 38% share of that bill. In total, the kinds of services that we provide under the Home and Community-Based Waiver Services Program, which I just mentioned, across the four-county area, we serve about 180 people in that program. At our Mainstream Employment and Learning Center, we serve about 65 individuals. They're involved in one of three programs in that activity center. One would be community integration program, where we actually go out and do volunteer work for the community. We volunteer at Mary Greeley Hospital, United Way, Food at First, where we have people with intellectual disabilities actually giving back to the community through volunteer activities. The Enclave Services, which I just mentioned, and also the newest program, which is our Snoozeland Center, and that's for people with very, very severe and profound disabilities who, prior to having the Snoozeland Center open, were sitting at home doing nothing because we could not serve them. You remember that program because you all gave us $30,000 out of some rebate money that you got from the state in order to make that program whole with equipment. The other things we do supervised apartments for persons with mental illness in Polk County only. That's a 66-bed operation in three different buildings. We have a residential care facility for persons with mental illness in Polk County for 11 beds, and we have scattered site supported community living in Polk County for persons with mental illness, and that encompasses about 200 people. So what we actually do through the ASSET process is very... Obviously, $5,000 in funding versus a $16 million budget. It's a tail wagging a dog at this point. Any questions?
Reno, as the state is pondering the redesign and looking at regionalization and so forth, have your agencies had opportunities to consider what impacts that this might have, particularly when we talk about the non-medicated portion, which basically falls back on the counties because the state is considering moving forward with being able to take over some of the mandated type services, etc. Have you thought much about the concept of regionalization and the fact that you're already working in different counties? There's a model of your services that's already there, but how do you see any major changes depending upon what direction this redesign takes?
Well, I think we're going to see something, Wayne, but what it turns out to be is anybody's guess. You know, I've been sitting in this chair at Mainstream Living for the past 35 years, and I have seen over and over history repeating itself many times in 35 years, where I've seen the state call for groups to meet all over the state, provide input about how the system needs to be redesigned, and they produce reports that are an inch and a half to two inches thick, and then we go to the legislature, and the legislature considers it, and they say, it's a terrific idea, we ought to redo the system. And then the problem is that the legislature has consistently never funded that at levels that it to make it successful. And when that happens, then we get down the road. We have a system that we think will work. We get down the road. We underfund it at the state level. And then 4 or 5 years down the road, they said, well, the system's broken. We got to fix it and we got to reorganize. And when it might have worked if they'd have funded it in the first place. But that's never happened. That has never happened. I have a report in my office from 1998 done by the Technical Assistance Collaborative out of Massachusetts that the state hired to reorganize the system. The kinds of problems that they identified in that report in 1998 are exactly the same problems that we have today in the system. The only thing that happened out of that report from the Technical Assistance Collaborative is that the Technical Assistance Collaborative got paid to do it. There were absolutely no recommendations from that report implemented or funded by the state of Iowa. So I'll take the Calvin Coolidge report approach. Calvin Coolidge said, if you stand in the middle of the road and you got 5 driverless buggies coming at you, horse and buggies with no driver, stand in the middle of the road and wait till 5 of them run the ditch, then you can deal with the one that's coming at you. That's kind of how I'm approaching this. We've got all sorts of things coming our direction. Some of them are going to go by the wayside, and we'll have to deal what we deal with when it comes time.
Well,
on the lighter side, I'd like to hear anecdotal stories about the Snoozin' Center. I know we all got to come take a look at it when it first opened.
Right.
I'd like to hear. I know there was a lot of excitement about the impact it was going to have on these individuals that really do not find stimulation in anything else in life.
Right.
And so I was hoping you could share a couple quick stories with us.
Well, we're serving right now about 35 individuals in the Snoozin' program, and some of them, by the way, are non-Story County residents. We've gotten the word has gotten out that we're providing this service, and we're the only one in the state that's providing this particular type of service. Snoozin' being a Dutch name from the individual who designed this kind of therapy for people with severe and profound disabilities, which is really a program designed to deal with their sensory integration processes. Again, we're serving about 35 individuals. Polk County has been up with their board of directors. The Polk County Health Services Board of Directors has been up to view the program. There's interest in Polk County, not necessarily us. I'm not sure I want to do it in Polk County, but there's interest in having that program in Polk County. I guess the amazing thing about this program is that there are we now are dealing with people that there's a young lady in our mainstream program that we've served for 35 years. For 35 years, we thought she was nonverbal. She's come to the Snoozin' program, and she now verbalizes at least words. Not can't put sentences together. You can't talk to her, but she can verbalize words. We thought she was nonverbal. So that's one of the benefits of having that. Her parents are absolutely delighted, by the way. This individual who's 55 years old and had never said a word in 55 years and now is saying words like mom, dad, so forth. So we're seeing people's sensories improve. We're seeing people who might have serious behavior issues. We're seeing the incidences of those go down, which is part of the advertisement of having a program like that. That was what it was designed to do, and indeed that's working.
Thank you so much for your work.
Thank you.
Exciting.
You bet. Thank you so much. Good.
Keep Thank up you.
Good work. Okay. All right. Then moving on to departmental reports, emergency management, Director Keith Morgan.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I'll start off first off with a review of the past quarter, and we'll look ahead to the next quarter. First off, in the last quarter, Story County Emergency Management Agency has been concentrating our efforts on planning and training activities. We've also spent a considerable amount of time updating the hazmat agreement between Story County Emergency Management, and the City of Des Moines, and I'll be talking about that a little bit later. One thing that you should be aware of, over the past quarter, a lot of the grant funding guidance has come out, and it should be no surprise to anybody that is shrinking. I am a member of the First Responder Advisory Committee, the FRAC, and this year we're going to be working with $2.8 million for the Homeland Security Grant Program. That's down from over $5 million last year. Additionally, grants such as the Emergency Operations Center grant and the Citizen Corps program grants have been combined with the same grant, so essentially they've either gone away or else they're going to be battling against other activities for this. This has impacted our plans to improve the EOC, which were designed to move the Story County EOC to the next level of service, and that we won't be able to apply for an EOC grant, emergency operations grant, like we had hoped to upgrade some of our IT stuff. Moving along, addressing planning activities first off, the EMA's office is required to review 20% of our emergency response plans annually. This year we chose to review ESF-2, which is communications, ESF-8, mass casualty, ESF-9, which is search and rescue, and ESF-10, hazmat, which has to be reviewed every year. ESF-9, search and rescue, is a minor plan. The other three were major plans requiring significant effort to review these plans. For ESF-2 communications, we have focused on enhancing our understanding of our radio networks. Due to limited manpower in our office, we reached out to the Amateur Radio Emergency Services Organization, a volunteer organization called ARES, to assist us with this task. And they're helping us go through and map out our communications network so that we can know how we might adapt it should it take a major hit during a disaster. ESF-8, mass casualty, we have been working closely with Story County Public Health, who is a major player in this plan. By working with them, we're helping them understand what their role will be, which is a major role as the coordinator in it, and we are looking again to enhance it and to fully integrate it with the Story County Public Health Response Plan. ESF-10, hazmat operations, we spent quite a bit of time looking into the regulatory guidance that goes behind this plan. As a matter of fact, we've documented the 12 different sources of responsibilities and authorities that are associated with this plan. We did this to allow the users of the plans to grow their knowledge of the underlying regulatory guidance so that they knew exactly what was expected of them and where did that information come from. All these plans are currently out for comments, and they should be presented to the Emergency Management Commission for approval. Additionally, ESF-10 must also be approved by the Local Emergency Planning Committee, the LEPC. This includes our business partners as a part of the planning process. We were able to get the Ames ISU Hazard Mitigation Plan officially integrated into the Story County Multi-Hazard, Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan, just in time for us to start looking forward to revising our Story County plan, and that has to be revised by May 2014, and I'll be talking about that process in a little bit. The deputy, Melissa Spencer, has been attending the Squaw Creek Watershed Authority meetings, and we're looking to work with the Story County planning and development to optimize how we integrate our inputs into this organization and to work closely with them. Also, the deputy spearheaded activities to do a complete revision of the I-35 road closure plan, which involved us activating resources should that occur, and it was quite a bit of an integrated activity between us, Ames, and DOT and other organizations. On the training side, I'd like to thank the board, elected officials, and department heads, and especially the Story County employees who participated in our EOC training. The training provided individuals general information on the purpose of the EOC and specifics on procedures that will be used to activate the EOC. What was impressive is that participants demonstrated a real desire to improve their ability to contribute to this important activity, which will be essential during disaster response. I have received certification as a hazmat operations level first responder, and I've also been certified in disaster assessment. The deputy attended training on multi-hazard emergency planning for higher education. She conducted the training for disaster assessment for all Story County agencies that will be conducting this, and she also attended the Civic Plus webpage management class. For exercises, Story County took a significant step forward towards being able to rapidly respond to an emergency through our EOC activation exercise drill. You might remember getting a text message on that, and that was a part of a new process that we're going to utilize to activate folks for our EOC. The results of that exercise were that almost all people actually received the text message within 5 minutes of transmission. We did identify one place where we had an incorrect address and another one that didn't get the text at all, which is pretty good considering the number that we sent out. 52% of the people responded to this text within the first hour. We were shooting for about an 80% response rate from it, but through continuing to do these exercises, I think we'll improve that percentage. Most importantly, the drill showed the importance of expending time to exercise these procedures, to identify deficiencies in our plans, and to help train people to be able to utilize these procedures. For operations, Story County Emergency Management has been working closely with the county attorney to develop a response to the City of Des Moines concerning the HAZMAT 2080 agreement that we have. And that agreement is a contract essentially for HAZMAT, for the Des Moines Fire Department to respond to HAZMAT calls up here in Story County. The agreement was first signed in 1995, and it involves Polk County and the seven counties surrounding Polk County. A thorough review of the agreement highlighted some areas of concern for liabilities that are now under review with the City of Des Moines. The process has absorbed considerable amount of time in the Emergency Management's office as we go through this process, but we have developed a coordinated response between ourselves and the seven other counties that we have presented back to the City of Des Moines, and we're awaiting their response to that. Currently, both Story County Emergency Management and Story County are signatories to this agreement, and the Emergency Management Agency is looking to remove Story County from a signatory of this plan. We feel it's better that this these responsibilities reside with the Multi-Jurisdictional Emergency Management Commission when it comes to this plan. So as we get further down the plan and as we get more solid answer back from the City of Des Moines, we'll be exploring those options later on.
And just a sidebar there, Keith and I met with key players, City of Ames, yesterday just to let them know what was going on. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you sent the initial response from this group of eight counties to Des Moines yesterday.
Yes, sir. The actual response, which outlined some of our principal concerns with the position this City of Des Moines has presented, has been sent down to them. There is a meeting that is scheduled for the 29th of March. If it continues on schedule, that should allow us to continue to work towards resolution of this issue. For outreach, our agency has provided briefings to the Story County Human Services Council, the Nevada American Legion Auxiliary, the Ames Kiwanis, the Ames International Association of Administrative Professionals, and the State Ares organization. Again, that's the organization that does amateur radio. The reason we do this is to educate these agencies on the mission of the emergency management, and more importantly, to disseminate information on preparedness to individuals, to volunteer organizations, and to businesses. So where do we go here for the next quarter? Well, first off, we're going to shift a bit from the administrative details to preparations for severe weather. The severe storms across the midsection of the United States should serve as a reminder of the importance of the emergency management's work. Here are some projects we're going to be working on. We're going to continue the training of EOC personnel, shifting to a focus on individual positions. I ask the Board of Supervisors, the elected officials, and department heads to continue to support these activities. The MAA's office will hopefully receive notification of the awarding of the Hazard Mitigation Planning Grant, which I talked about last time. We hope once we get that, we'll be able to move forward with development and dissemination of a request for proposal to get contract assistance for this project. We will be conducting an exercise that will train and test the ability of first responders to integrate across multiple jurisdictions. We're also looking to continue our work to revise the HAZMAT 2080 agreement with the Des Moines Fire Department and City of Des Moines. And finally, as expected, there are going to be some late nights as we continue to monitor severe weather when it occurs. For item one, EOC training, this is going to take the direct support of the Board of Supervisors, which you have been providing support from the first time I mentioned this concept. I would like to thank the Board of Supervisors for their support on this effort, and I look forward to continuing this close working relationship with you to enhance our capabilities in this area. Items 2 and 4, the hazmat grant and the 2080 agreement. We'll be coordinating our efforts on this through the Board of Supervisors' representation on the Emergency Management Commission, Mr. Rick Sanders. And we anticipate it's going to be a busy next quarter. So with that, I open it up to any questions that you might have on our activities.
No, as usual, you continue to have a lot on your plate. You've accomplished a great deal this past year, and I think all of Story County, with all the outreach efforts that you are bringing forth, will certainly prepare us to deal as effectively as we possible can when these emergencies arise. So again, just a special thank you on behalf of all of us for your leadership in this area.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, next we're moving on will be Information Technology, Sandra Hunter.
Thank you very much.
Okay, take it away.
Okay. Well, the first part was the real estate application, and thank you for your approval, you know, the agreement. So, multi-agency public safety group has taken a lot of the IT's our time right now. In fact, we have training going on today. Mobile field reporting is going on downstairs. There's no one from IT in that training, but there are people from the Sheriff's Office and from City of Ames and Iowa State University. Within this last month, we've also had jail management training and property and evidence training and, you know, the records management, records RMS, which is records management training. So we have training scheduled and something scheduled constantly between now and mid-June when we plan to go live. Next week, we'll have training for property, more additional training for property and evidence. And we got yesterday the barcode equipment, the scanners and the printers and things that will be used with that application. And we're going to move those over to the property and evidence room at the sheriff's office so that it'll be all ready to go. Excuse me. And we're continuing to work with the developer on getting everything converted over for the jail and for everything and all the other applications. And we have scheduled the main equipment installation April 16th through the 20th, because that was one time when nothing was scheduled for training. So, because the system will, right now it's not live, but everybody can work on it, on the information. Community life program and community services, there's been several issues with the new CLIP. I don't know if Gayla has talked with you about a lot of the different issues they've been having with the new CLIP application. It's run very slowly. There's been different things that haven't functioned properly. Sometimes they'll fix one thing, it'll break something else. So we're having some... Steve Webb, the person that you had come in and work with us, looked at the database structure and found that there's some things that are set up in the database structure that is probably really contributing to the slowness of the application. So I talked to Gayla today. I think we're going to set up a meeting to talk with the people from ACS and have Steve involved in that meeting too, and see if what the plan of action is going to be, because at this time they still haven't, you know, even given up their old Lotus Notes based CLIP, because they're not certain they want to stay with this, you know, with as slow as it's going and the issues that they've been running into, and they're getting frustrated with it. But on a brighter side, we did try, though, you know, we were having problems with the routers at the different residence apartments, the 5 routers that we had installed. So I talked with Verizon, and they provided us with the test equipment, and thank you for signing the approval of going ahead and using that test equipment to use the USB wireless modems free of charge. and they work great. We tried them at all the different locations. So I talked to the person from Verizon, Katie Stidka. She's our representative, and I think you may have met her before. She was here. And she gave me some good news because we can get the modems. First of all, we'll get the modems free of charge, but then the service fee, the state of Iowa just signed a new contract, a new WISCA contract with Verizon. So instead of being $42.99, it's gone down to $39.99 a month. So there's a little bit of a savings there for the service fees. I have not put the agreement on. I didn't know about this till just recently, so I didn't get it on the consent agenda. But is that something the board would approve if I go ahead? Should I go ahead and put that on the consent agenda for next week?
Yeah.
So we can go ahead and get that going.
Yeah, I don't know that we'd approve it, but sure, you can put it on.
I meant for the agreement for the $39.99.
Save my.
Yeah. And we're also looking at the possibilities. Gail had mentioned that at those different residents, they'd also like to have some printers in the event that a client needs to go to the hospital. They can print out the information. So we're looking at possibly using some used old printers. Website, as you know, the website is now up and running. That is going fairly smoothly. We've run into a few little small issues, nothing serious. But as Matt has said in his email to everyone the other day, he really appreciates everything, all of the different departments' part in getting this website up and running. You know, all the different people that, you know, over 20 people participated in the training and are taking care of the content management from their own departments. And so I think because of that, it's been a very successful project, getting the new website up and running. For HSC remodel, we thank you for your approval of the change order. We didn't notice on the prints that one area, there's two area floor, there were two floor boxes for cabling to come up, and it was a little short. It only would allow for one cubicle instead of four cubicles or two cubicles in one case. So that has already been done. We also need to purchase another switch for the downstairs room. We have a switch currently upstairs. We had two options. Steve Webb went with Al and looked at some of, you know, about the necessity to have the other switch, and he thought it would be a good idea to have an additional switch rather than running cables, because the amount that it would cost for the switch would probably be close to what it would cost for labor to run the cables between the floors. So I'm going to look into, in fact, I sent a request out yesterday to get a quote on the switch that we would need for the downstairs part of the remodel, and that would be paid for out of the mental health funds, I think out of some of those funds that are available for the remodel. Right now, I'm also working with the contractor because of the way the projector is in the conference room. There's lights that hang down kind of like these, and they would be in the way of the projector. You know, and I think Deb had mentioned that she already has a projector, so we're going to meet tomorrow and discuss how we're going to handle this and see if I can get a person from AVI, Josh Grant, to come in and look at that whole situation and see if we can make it work or if they're going to have to remove those lights and put in the ceiling lights so that they won't be in the way of the projector. There still have been some issues with poor internet response for county attorney's office. I'm thinking it might be a good idea if we talked to, because the state doesn't even want us to call anymore. They said we're aware of this and we're working on it. Or, in fact, we, you know, at times we were told that, you know, it might be an issue on our side. We had IP Pathways come out and use some of our prepaid dollars to have them do an analysis of the internet connections that we have, and everything was fine on our end. So it is, you know, for the most part, the problem is on the state side. And I'm thinking possibly if we talked with the clerk of court, maybe they would have a little more influence on the state than we've had about getting some of the, you know, the proxy error issues resolved that they get when they're trying to do their EDMS entries. Last week we had the sheriff's office AS400 systems started logging errors and doing a thing called calling home. It calls IBM and lets them know there's a problem with the sheriff, with the system. So I got a call on Thursday night and it was still up. So the IBM person came out Friday morning and said the processor was going out. So we ended up having to have that replaced. So we only had downtime for about 3 hours. And while he was doing that, I was clearing off the data. We have this old 820 AS400 down there that we need to get rid of. I cannot find anybody that wants to buy that thing. It's huge. Be a great boat anchor. But anyway, it's nobody wants to buy it, so I'd like to donate it possibly to a college or a university or something because we have no use for it. It's taking a lot of room in our server room, and now all the data is completely cleared off of it, and we can get rid of it without any fears of, you know, someone getting in and getting people's social security numbers or something.
I don't know what kind of action is required from us to dispose of obsolete equipment.
Usually we just go ahead and dispose of it, and we keep, you know, we take the fixed asset tags off of it and give them back to the auditor's office. And
I'd say
IT always does.
Yeah, I'd say just follow normal procedure in disposing of obsolete equipment.
Yeah, if you know anybody that wants it, the Nevada schools talked to us a couple weeks ago and thought they might be interested in it, but I haven't heard back from them, so I think I'll contact
them. Besides boat anchor, what else would it be good for?
I can't think of a thing. It's huge.
Find somebody that wants them. Tell them we've got an IBM Selectric typewriter that has to go with it.
Do you have one of those?
There's in the health department.
So. Okay. IP Pathways, our prepaid help, also helped us with getting a switch replaced and reconfigured out at our conservation area, which was really nice. And he also set up the shop so that they could communicate, because we set up a whole new server out there. And just kind of working on some other things. Steve Webb has been very helpful in a couple of areas. We took him around to CLP, and he realized there was no labeling on the fiber connections and those types of things. So he's pointed out a few things that needed to be done. So we're in the process of I'm working with the person from Communications Innovators about going out and getting the things labeled that need to be labeled at CLP and making sure that they label everything at HFC, because they're the ones that are doing all of the cable runs right now at HFC, and those look like they're pretty well done. And I think that's pretty much it. Do you have any questions or comments or anything?
No. Again, thank you.
Thanks.
You continue to remain busy, so appreciate it. I said you continue to remain busy in your department, so thank you for...
Thank you.
Great. Okay, moving on down the line, liaison assignments and committee updates. Paul, anything?
Covered what Alliance Technologies has been doing for us. I know they were up here last Friday and met with Al and went to the HSC building. So,
great. Rick, anything?
Pass.
Yeah, I'll pass as well. Mm-hmm. Other reports? Nothing. On consideration of personnel action, there's a slight modification that was added that Shelley has brought to my attention. So. The personnel action, Shelley, is there anything that you need to add to that? Okay.
Start date on the auditors to the 18th. Instead
of okay. Great. So with that, I would entertain a motion to consider approval of personnel action.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded the approval of personnel actions as modified. Hearing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, and on the consent agenda, board, please remove utility permits. So that would come under item number 2, and I believe the information that is located here really pertain to road closures, is that correct, rather than the term utility permit? So
yes, between going through the agenda online and the agenda that we send out, I forgot to do the one that we sent out, so I accidentally put the road closures under utility permits. So I just need you to remove utility permits.
Okay. Okay. So.
Second.
It's been moved and second to approve the consent agenda with noted changes. Toot.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton. Aye. Consent agenda is adopted with noted changes. Okay. Item 2 is a public comment 2. This would be comments from the public on items not on the agenda. I believe Planning and Development Director Leanne would like to bring something back to our attention. Okay.
I'll thank you, sir.
Great.
No, I'm good. Thank you. Chuck Winkleblack did ask that I represent him, as you expected. He is asking that the Board of Supervisors, thank you, Sandra, consider a request to consider amending the Ames River Fringe Plan. This is specifically for property on the west side of George Washington Carver Avenue. It's approximately 80 acres in size. If you'd like, you could read the letter that he sent to Ames, but it'll take me a minute to get my phone.
I'd like it to be on our agenda for our consideration of considering the amendment process. So unless you need a motion, I would just suggest that we directly end it on our agenda.
Sounds good to me.
Thank
All
you.
All right. We will move accordingly, and thank you for calling it to our attention. Okay, announcements from the supervisors.
No, thank you.
Okay. We'll pass. Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Second.
And then moved in second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Hey, Shell.